Hello, and welcome to the latest In the Zone podcast with me, Mike Ryder.
And me, Josh Hughes.
In this episode, we're going to talk about campuses, university campuses specifically, and the difference between what a campus university is like and what maybe a city university is like. As I don't think this is really something that gets discussed very much among students before they come to university. I don't know. What's your experience, Josh?
Well, I think because I did my undergraduate degree at a city university and my master's and PhD at Lancaster, which is a campus university. And I suppose that I don't know if I really noticed the differences or thought about them. I definitely noticed them. I don't think I thought about them until I was speaking to a lecturer from Manchester University who was quite shocked between the difference between their first teaching post, which is at Keele, which is a campus, and Manchester, which is a city university. And I sort of started, and then sort of after that conversation, I started to notice some differences. But the one that was most striking to them is that at a campus university, sort of the cohort of students is mostly together, or there's at least groups that stay together pretty much. So they go to lessons together, then they go to for lunch together, they go to the bar together on campus, and then they go to a seminar later on together. Or maybe they'll all stay together, but at least they meet up and there's kind of a continuity there. And so in that way, sort of teaching to them at a campus university was strange because, or was for them, teaching at a campus university, they were the outsider to the group. All the students knew each other, and then they come in and give this seminar, and the first week they're the stranger. And to them, what was strange about being at a city university was that when lectures or seminars end, all the students disappear and go their separate ways. Maybe meet up with friends in different parts of the city, maybe go home or something. If they don't live too far away, often they're very disparate. So for them turning up at on the first week of teaching, they weren't the outsider. Everyone was an outsider to each other. There was no kind of cohort mentality or collegiality about it. So it's very a bit what I suppose what Zygmunt Bauman would call liquid, or maybe even aerated. It's sort of you come together and you sort of bump into each other for a bit and interact and then disappear and go away.
I mean, that would obviously apply more to second and third year classes, I imagine, because first years everyone's new to each other. And I find it interesting that they seem to find campuses as being negative then, because everyone's together. Is that what they were saying?
No, so they thought it was great for the students, but to them they felt like they were going into a classroom, teaching it, and being they were an outsider to the kind of the cohort that already existed.
But then surely as a academic, as a teacher, you want your students to be able to talk to each other or happy or comfortable with each other, because that makes a better learning environment.
I mean, I don't think they viewed either as I don't think they sort of thought it was negative. They just sort of thought this is how it is, and it's not
It's
interesting.
very different,
But
yeah.
yeah, but now you mention it, if a campus university has more collegiality about it, and sort of the students know each other and are happy to interact in their seminars, then that probably is better, isn't it? Because actually, that's what you want in a seminar. You want the students to talk to each other. You want them to explore ideas together. You want them to debate and to challenge each other. And if you don't know anybody in the seminar, then you're less likely to do that.
Yeah, I think it's easy to make friends on a campus university, I would
Definitely,
say.
yeah.
For that reason, I mean, I've worked and studied at numerous universities of different types. I mean, sort of Imperial College, Birkbeck briefly, Canterbury Christchurch University, Brunel University, Lancaster University. Yeah, they're the ones I've worked and studied at. So that's sort of five. Different ones, and yeah, you do get very different feel, I think, and also it depends upon the intake of students, the types of students in a course, because I think if you're at a public service university, sort of one of these universities that does mainly say vocational courses like policing and nursing, the intake of students aren't likely to all be living on campus if it was a campus university. So I think the feel then would be different anyway.
Yeah, so I suppose in that way, universities like Birkbeck, where sort of because Birkbeck is most focused about adult education, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's
Or
an
mid,
evening university.
yeah. So in that way, you wouldn't expect any. No, in a city university with undergraduates of sort of typical age 18 to 21, yeah. you would expect them to, you know, people would at least come together in some way.
Mm.
I suppose if a university that's focused on, well, they call it adult education, don't they? But 18-year-old adults, so it's a bit strange. But more
mature students.
I suppose that's going to be even more disparate, one would expect, because although obviously people are going to make friends, they've all got separate lives.
Yeah.
So they go away to those separate lives.
Well, it's a very strange experience, and I found it a very strange experience. Mm. I mean, I started a master's degree in Victorian literature. Well, I started working full-time, an evening course at Burbank a long time ago. This is a long story anyway. But the point being that it's weird because you come in having done a full day at work, so you're in a work mindset, and you're tired, and you have to travel across London on the tube, and you get there, and then everyone's coming in from their own separate directions. You sit down for your hour or two, and you'll go again, and you're never going to see each other again until that time next week.
Mm.
It's a very strange experience, and I don't even think there's an expectation that you will be seeing each other again in that particular circumstance because of the way the lessons are structured.
Yes, that must be a very different experience to, you know, campus university where your students you study together, quite a high likelihood they might live together or near each other.
Mm.
So it's very different, isn't it, between beings who just sort of clash together for this joint thing and then others who are kind of together all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's also about the facilities that are on the campus, because, I mean, here at Lancaster, for example, like, between classes, you might all go to the same coffee shop or selection of places for lunch, whereas if you're in the city, it doesn't feel quite so natural, so you might actually go out to an off-campus facility. Well, I know they consider certain facilities as being part of their campus, mm-hmm. even though it's in the city. But like, you might not necessarily go to the students' union or whatever. So it does feel very different. The whole thing, really, because you're often then interacting with members of the public. So it's not even you're not even in a shared necessarily environment of mutual learning.
Yeah, so that's a bit must be quite well. It's quite strange, actually. You know, to the difference between we're all students, we're all here to learn,
and
then I'm just a member of the public. I suppose what one of the things that I've been thinking about since we started talking about this is that probably most people who experience one university setting are not going to realise the difference between a campus and a city until they go to the other.
Yeah,
And they probably don't. You know, I remember starting my undergraduate degree was at City University. When I sort of more than 5 minutes away from kind of the main building, you know, you're just a member of the public, but they just kind of accept that that's how it is.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, on campus, 5 minutes away from here, well, you still kind of feel like a student because you're not really in the city yet.
Mm. So there is a distinction between the place of study and the outside world, I guess. I mean, it's an interesting one, especially when you think about expectations, because I think that's an interesting point you touch on there, because you're right. I think once you get on your undergraduate degree program as a sort of first year student, your expectations are basically defined by the university you're at, and you won't have any sense of what other places are like. And this is often what I'd say to new students as sort of postgraduates or here or when I was given to campus tours, is that actually sometimes, I mean, you might want to moan about, say, for example, Lancaster, but unless you've actually experienced somewhere else, you don't realise that actually the things you have to moan about here are on a different, they're on a much lower scale than the things you might be moaning about at another university. And yes, they're all equally problems or whatever, but they're different scales of problems, and they're different types of issues, but you don't have any appreciation of actually what is an issue until you go to like a crap university and you realise just how sort of bad things can be.
Yeah. But I suppose that's there are crap universities, there are campus universities, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I suppose that's the difference there between a good university and a crap one rather than cities and campuses. But so I suppose going from, you know, say a city university was good to a campus university was crap, or the other way around, would be even more of a difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be, yeah. I mean, it's more complicated than just saying on campus, off campus.
Yeah.
And because it also does it depend on your level of study, the age at which you come in, the sort of course you're doing, and all these other things. So there are many factors. But I think the type of the campus itself does make a difference to your overall experience and even the experience of the members of staff. Because think about that as well. It's not just a group of students feeling like they're all part of a community. I mean, there's members of staff. I mean, I still currently work at Canterbury Christchurch University, and they've got a whole section in sort of Medway, which is miles away. Like, I've never even been to the Medway campus, and I've worked there on and off for the last 5 years. And those students will have a very different experience, but also those members of staff. So there are members of like the IT department that just work there who I've never seen, I've never met, but who are members of the team. So you're in your own little island, you're in a little community within whatever building you happen to be in. And I think that makes a difference to the very culture of the place as well, as much as anything.
Yeah, I suppose the disconnect between people who work at the same university or on different campuses, that's, you know, there will be a disconnect there. But I wonder if there's also a disconnect between people. There is a disconnect between people in different buildings within the same campus. Whether that's, I suppose, on a traditional campus uni, there's going to be that disconnect between people in different buildings because they're in different departments.
Mm.
But I wonder if there's going to be more of a disconnect in a city university, not just because they're in different departments, but because they're at different. They're in different areas.
Yeah, and you're never going to interact. You're never going to cross over.
Or if you do, you know, you don't know whether is this a colleague or is this Joe Public.
Well, yeah, there is that. I mean, you just wouldn't know they existed. Yeah. I mean, one of the good things I think about Lancaster in particular is that it does have a college system, so there is almost that forced interaction based on either accommodation or sort of college you happen to be sort of put in, where there are events organised that will put you in contact with students from other disciplines and other fields, and it does create a better sense of community, I think, than without. And which is, again, it's one of these things that you don't realise until you experience not, and you come here and you're like, oh wow, actually there is actually a sense of identity. Like the undergraduates particularly feel strongly affiliated to their college.
Yeah, and something else that I sort of wonder about campus universities is that quite often some people do feel like they're in a bubble. Whereas at a city university, there isn't really a bubble, because as soon as you leave the building, you know,
you're in the outside world.
You're in the outside world. You're interacting with people who've got quote unquote real jobs. Because I think one of my favourite stories about Lancaster being a campus is someone who was an undergrad here. I don't know. This might even be completely apocryphal. But the story was, they kind of left their undergraduate dissertation until like a month before they had to hand it in. Finally started it and basically spent a month working on it, didn't leave campus, went to the shop on campus, went to the bars on campus to when they had a break, you know, basically just all they did was work pretty much, didn't leave campus at all. And then when it was handed in and they went into town to sort of have a few drinks and go out, they forgot that they had to cross the road, that they had to look when they crossed the road.
Right.
Despite the fact that there are roads on campus, but it's so quiet that actually you could probably get away with not doing. Particularly if you're, you know, going to the library and early and leaving late and stuff. I was quite shocked about that. But then actually, that's probably quite...
Well, you just get sucked into a bubble of thinking that everyone is just like you.
It's quite reasonable if you're in the bubble and you're not thinking about everything else, isn't it? But, you know, obviously that could never happen at a university, because as soon as you leave the library, you're back in the real world, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think with Lancaster in particular, because the campus is away from the town so far, I mean, it's a 45-minute walk or a sort of 15-minute bus ride, it's so far out of town that even if you left the campus, you're not in town.
Yeah, you're still in the sort of a wider bubble, really, aren't you?
Mm.
And I wonder if kind of if the bubble... I wonder if that's sort of good or bad for study. And the way I'm thinking, like, well, if you studied engineering or whatever subject, and you sort of pretty much hung out with engineers most of the time, and you pretty much spoke about engineering most of the time, you know, you'll probably learn from each other more, and you'll learn about, so you understood that way. Oh, I can see that now, whatever. Whereas if you're at a university, you know, and you kind of say, "All right, see you tomorrow," then you know you don't get that continued interaction about the subject you're studying.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's interesting. But I mean, there are pros and cons, because I mean, what you might not realise is that my very first university experience, I started an engineering degree in a city university, Imperial College, and I am going to put it out there and say it was my worst academic experience of my life, because I just the culture was I just didn't get on with it at all. I mean, working class boy with, into heavy metal with long hair, stuck in this sort of environment that's incredibly sort of middle class, but also it's sort of in a city environment that I found sort of quite claustrophobic, but also just the very atmosphere of the department, because you were only exposed to other engineering students, which are predominantly male and predominantly international. It was very cliquey, and the atmosphere wasn't like what I would consider a university atmosphere to be like.
Right. Okay.
And I just couldn't get on with it at all. I absolutely hated it. Absolutely hated it. I mean, there was essentially no women around, mainly. And that actually, I mean, whatever your sort of your thoughts on these things, I mean, it's just the atmosphere is different if it's just a group of guys like around. And engineering also tends, especially like in a university like Imperial, tends to attract a sort of certain type of guy as well. So it's not like you've got arts and humanities people around, sort of to balance the atmosphere a bit and to make things more interesting. Didn't get on at all.
I thought it's quite interesting, because in situations that would tend to attract more men, or
even more women, because I'm in English now,
yeah.
So like that's a predominantly female.
But I suppose if you're in a campus bubble, obviously your experience at Imperial was in a city.
Yeah,
I'm thinking if you're in the campus bubble, then there's sort of not going to be as many things to pierce that bubble. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that then depends upon the university itself. Yeah. I mean, my experience is also influenced by the fact that Imperial College, as a university, when I was there, it was about 75% male. But this wasn't even something I looked at when I went, because I didn't think of it as an issue to look at. Like, I didn't think about that, and I didn't think what that effect would have. Then you don't look at like the proportion of international students, for example, as well, or sort of like the class makeup or sort of things like this. I just thought, oh, it's a good university, it does engineering, therefore it must be good. Not necessarily. I mean, it doesn't mean it's necessarily right for you. But so therefore, yeah, the impact was not just the fact it was a city. It was also the fact that the university as a whole, its student population was predominantly male, predominantly international at the time I was there. I mean, this is 10 years ago, but...
Yeah, I suppose... So I suppose what I would think about in terms of... Maybe if Imperial was a campus, would you think it would be even worse?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. I mean, I did have the issue, I think, at the time, because it's right in central London, the very heart of like sort of South Kensington, so rich area. Like, there's a Ferrari garage down the road on one end, there's a Lamborghini garage down the road by South Kensington Station. Like, you're right in the heart of like sort of rich city. Like, and then there's me sort of from Ramsgate with my long hair into heavy metal, like completely disorientated by all this sort of wealth all around me. And So, I mean, in a way, maybe in that sense, being a campus might have been slightly better, because it might have given the university more reason to focus on student experience. But I think there are other factors as well that are impacting upon it. I think we should probably also just apologise to our readers right now, because there is a baby crying in a room next door, and which has nothing to do with us. It's not because they're listening to the podcast. It just happens to be someone's in the room next door to us.
Yeah, we'll just roll with it.
So...
I suppose sort of all my points have been predicated on the idea that a campus university is a bubble, and that a city university isn't.
But I think a city university can be a bubble.
Be a bubble, yeah.
But in a different sort of way, I think.
So that's the thing. That's what's interesting, isn't it? The differences. Because when I was at city university, I was studying forensic science and criminal investigation. And it was almost a feeling in the department that, like, well, if you've come here to learn this, that's because you got a job in it. And I was like, 'cause I did at the time. So you should do everything in your power to get that job. And so it kind of, I suppose, you're put in a bubble to do that, aren't you? But I suppose it wasn't necessarily about the fact that it was a city university. It was that it was a more vocationally focused course. So maybe we should think about this podcast not as the difference between city and campus, but about bubbles.
Academic bubbles. I think it's true, because even at sort of level that we're both at, I mean, there's the bubble of your department. At Lancaster, you could say, well, there's the bubble of your college. Doesn't really apply so much to postgraduates, but there's the bubble of maybe the building you happen to be in, if you happen to work in your office or not. The bubble of whether you work on campus or off campus. But these are impacted upon then by the fact that it's a campus or a not campus. I mean, I think these are factors. But obviously you're not going to know until you've been exposed to more than one. You need to be exposed to several different environments, really.
Yeah, I suppose that's the takeaway, in a way, isn't it, from this thing, is to try and experience more than one university environment. Otherwise, you just take it for granted as that's what it is. You don't know what you like, what you prefer.
But it's very difficult, because obviously, in the first instance, you're going to be signed up to somewhere for 3 years.
Yeah.
In an undergraduate degree. I mean, and then when you come to postgraduate, you want to go somewhere where you know is going to be good for your sort of state of mind, your way of life. So often I can see why people are tempted to carry on at the same place, because it's familiar and it's safe.
Yeah.
Because you're going to a new place requires you to learn a whole new different set of processes, ways of doing things, and so on.
Yeah, but I suppose lots of people who do postgraduate degrees, particularly PhDs, you know, they go somewhere because they want to work with a particular person or in a particular department, don't they? They don't. Yeah, I suppose I was wrong to suggest that, because people don't really go to university just for a different experience. I suppose some people do, don't they? But
well, I mean,
it's quite rare.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. But then, I mean, for example, people that maybe want to study abroad, I mean, they do go for the experience in a way, different education system.
I suppose we've focused here on just on UK, haven't we?
Yeah, but I'd say this, the bubbles thing still does apply. I mean, especially that we have a lot of American students here, and I think they appreciate the fact that they feel like it's a lot closer to Europe, which it is for them.
Well,
but I mean, for me, sitting here in Lancaster, I do still feel like it's quite a long way from Europe. But it's a relative thing, isn't it? But people come, as you say, for different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, because I went to a conference at the University of Barcelona, which is a city university, but it's kind of outside of the city. So in a way, it kind of creates this artificial campus of its own, and so creates its own bubble. One of the things that was interesting about being at that conference was I was speaking to one of the Spanish academics there, and they were saying that when Franco came to power, because lots of the opposition were in universities, what he did was he created new universities, campus universities, far away from population centres.
Mm.
And sort of put the radical academics there. So, because the distance, because at the time the physical distance meant that they couldn't communicate those radical ideas afterward, or couldn't communicate them as well.
Right.
To the public.
Mm.
So in a way that created a bubble that was particularly curated by Franco or by his advisors, in order to contain the university, the radicalness of the university.
Yeah.
And sort of allowed. The people who agreed with him more into the city universities, so that they could spread their message to the public.
Yeah.
Was his idea, I think. So I suppose in a way, we think of the bubble as keeping ourselves in, but for Franco, the bubble was to keep his enemies in.
Yeah. But obviously that wouldn't work today with the internet, for example. I mean, the internet has broken down a lot of bubbles, you could say.
Mm.
Especially with like distance learning and online.
Well, absolutely, yeah. So I suppose that's another question, isn't it? I've only ever done a distance learning course that was really very short, and it only took me a little bit of time. I didn't really feel like I was a student. It wasn't really a student experience properly. It was just a short thing. So I wonder if distance learners feel part of universities, feel within the bubble, feel. And I suppose you wouldn't expect there would be a difference between a distance learning course done at a city university or a campus university.
Hmm. But then your expectations are going to be different, because I think you come into it knowing that you're not going to have the same interactions that you would have.
Yeah. Maybe if you have done distance learning, then maybe you should get in touch and let us know.
Let us know.
We can revisit this.
But I mean, what I can bring to this is distance working, because I currently still work for Canterbury Christchurch University, which is 350 miles away from here. And I work remotely for them because the technology basically means that I can. But there are collaborative tools now which make working together easier, like we use Microsoft Teams. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Microsoft is sort of trying to roll it out more broadly now, where you can even do like sort of Skype meetings, like Teams meetings now, where you can have lots of different faces all together, and you can all look at see each other, and it's quite clever, and it's like a sort of file sharing sort of message boards. It's collaboration tool, and so it does mean that I can feel more like part of the team, even though I'm far away, because I can sort of see what's been going on during the week, because I can see all the messages that have been posted, which I wouldn't have had without that software.
Yeah, so I suppose that the prospect of remote working in that way and technology enabling team meetings in that way, I wonder if the future is not just, because I suppose distance learning now is quite an individual experience, in that you watch videos or Skype with a lecturer and sort of write a few messages maybe to the group or maybe have a forum, but you don't sort of, you know, it's not like the same thing of having video of everybody who's involved. You know what I mean? I think a video, internet empowered video seminars is perhaps a future thing. And I wonder if that would be, I suppose we're moving from the campus to the city to the to cyberspace. But obviously that would be a different experience. But I wonder if there's kind of a bubble to be created there within, you know, work together in this experience.
Yeah.
In the same way that, you know, we talk about, people who play video games together, kind of it's a very all-encompassing experience. You know, we've talked about drone pilots who've become encompassed in the experience completely before. So I wonder if distance learning as a group with the video of everybody might also become quite all-encompassing.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a different experience, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because then you wonder about how these people would interact outside of the classroom environment. I think it's very weird to interact individually with people as you might just sitting next to each other than it is in a sort of class seminar format. I mean, I think we've still got a long way to go with these things, because I think it's a cultural thing as much as anything else with the way that we use these things and the way we interact. But I think that might be the direction things go, especially with universities trying to expand their teaching and whatnot. I think it's now with recorded lectures as well. I mean,
I suppose recorded lectures kind of... lots of people don't like them because it kind of defeats the... Well, it means that students won't... Not as many students will turn up.
Yeah.
And it has a worse experience for those who do. So that then encourages people just to watch it online, doesn't it? But I suppose as well, there's quite a few people who post videos of their lectures on YouTube. And some of these lectures are quite popular. Because it allows people to essentially listen to a university course. Well, essentially do distance learning.
Yeah.
But without any... work to do with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I wonder how are they because the university does own the copyright technically of your lectures, I think, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know actually.
I wonder how that's worked. But that is an interesting concept. The fact that sort of, but I mean, this links with the idea of MOOCs, massive open online courses. I think it is, isn't it? I think there's a Future Learns one a lot of universities collaborate on, where you can actually participate in these things online completely for free.
Yeah, so you can basically take a distance learning module for free, can't you?
Yeah. That doesn't really necessarily require you to do any essays or anything, but it's a sort of a learning experience, which I think is quite interesting. But again, that in itself is a different sort of bubble, I guess, a different sort of learning experience.
Yeah. I suppose it's not one that either of us have experienced. Well, I haven't, have you?
Not really, no, I haven't had time, if I'm honest.
I keep thinking if I end up in a job outside of academia, then I'll probably take a few of them.
Yeah.
Just to kind of to keep interested. But anyway, all this talk of bubbles makes me want to read Peter Sloterdijk's Spheres trilogy. He's sort of a physical geographer, I think, and a philosopher.
Oh, really? Oh, haven't heard of that.
Anyway.
Spheres trilogy.
Yeah.
Well, let's leave us with a reading tip.
So there we go. If anyone's read it, you can tell us all about it.
Oh, well, yeah. I think we should probably draw the podcast to an end there, because I think...
That
brings us nicely to a conclusion. Right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the In The Zone podcast with Mike Ryder and Josh Hughes.
For more podcasts and interesting chat, visit InTheZonePodcast.com.